Blog Talk Radio.
How many know what funk is? Raise your hand. Ready for this world? Rock, get real raw. Bust my style and hardcore. I'm Craig Mack. Coming in natural back door. My rhymes hit hard. No games like ping pong. I'm strong.
Like who, Craig?
Kong. I'm flexing with flexing. My funk track correction. My licks get the kicks like the Chinese connection. Like Damien, the Omen's son. I won't run. I never ran. Flying MCs like the Sudan. Craig Mack is like a loaded 4-5. Mothers get welfare. Fathers won't survive. The who can get fierce as fierce can get. Get set. I'm ready to eat MCs like spaghetti. The C-R-A-I-G Mack is back. I'm blown the wrong well-known. The man's got it sewn. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Zoom, 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 zoom. 3 years of waiting. Now here comes kaboom. Back off the steel, kid. Let me get my dough. You're real slow. Get the dip like a homo. Got the name. No games, the outlaw. I'm real raw. Fuck my style is hardcore.
Real raw. Fuck my style is hardcore. Real raw. Fuck my style is hardcore. Real raw. Fuck my style is hardcore. Real raw. Fuck my style is hardcore.
Service with the wild style. Freak a smile. I'm crazier than ever. Please pull my lever. Ooh, I can't wait. I'm paid. I see them. Brothers on my jock. A G4 per diem. MC's out of town. Please stay down. Fuck around. My nature's the hatred. My style of MC'ing. The dust is crushed. I bust every human being. Dig it. I'm cool, but one fool. Don't act fool. My four-fifths a tool. I have aim. Hey, hush it down. Quiet. I'm speaking. Unique technique and style. Best I am freaking. Speaking. Speaking like a deacon of a pastor. The master. Baby. Death. Okay, G. Let's get back to the issue with your tissue. Weeping till I grab a pillow for I have to dish you. I'm concrete. Heart of the streets. Black pavement. Fever heads bleeding. Strictly in amazement. Surrender. With more ups than I'll send her. I'll bend ya. You're tender. Next agenda.
Get real raw. Fuck my style is hardcore.
Get real raw.
Fuck my style is hardcore.
Get real raw.
My style is hardcore.
Yeah.
Fuck my style is hardcore.
I belong in a hospital, insane. Like fast lane on the brain, like Bruce Wayne. I tell tale, won't fail or get stale. Cause I felt like braille as I walk on a third rail. Manson's my grandson, not so handsome. I'm grotesque. Fuck it, girls still rub my chest. I'm D with James Brown, give it up for turning loose. I'm several on the red lines, cranked on a Zeus. Max, the brother that attacks at random. MCs that slam them, cause I'm fat as Ralph Cramden. Rock, boomer, clock, boy, I kill ya. MCs, I'm a thriller, from here to Manila. Lay down, nothing but facts. Jack, the blackjack ace to the beat down max. Relax, this is just wax on my single. More chips on my shoulder than the chips made by Pringle. So how do you figure? I'm stronger than your liquor. Wild Irish Rose, huh, strike a pose. I'm deaf to an MC, below by Jack Dempsey. A shark feeding frenzy on those that sent me. One more score for the war. See ya, I'm real raw. Plus my style is hardcore.
Get raw. My style is hardcore.
Real raw.
Fuck my style is hardcore.
I'm real raw.
Fuck my style is hardcore.
I'm real raw.
Fuck my style is hardcore.
Yeah. Craig Mack, baby, in the house. He's on like whatever, but we on this Montage Monday, dealing with Ivan Van Sertima Part 2, coming in with the information. Before we get into Ivan Van Sertima, we also going to be talking about some situations where, you know, we understand how people want to cling on to the Native Indians. But I'm noticing a trend here. Everybody always want to fit somebody somewhere. Y'all want to fit the Native Indians over here. You want to fit the crackers in the Caucasus Mountain. I'm going to say it again. Ain't nobody just hatched in the fucking cave. So, I mean, you know, let's get on with the program here as far as how this is being done. Seriously. How is this being done as far as, like, you know, forget about how it's being done, but why has a person got it in their head that they just going to make up in their head, I'm going to put this person over here, and we just going to make it stick, and I don't want nobody to argue with me ever. We only going to be dealing with an hour and a half on the Montage Money, coming to another show right after this. And that one's going to be a little bit more tough to deal with opposed to this one. But that's why I keep shit uncomfortable. I'm not about making shit comfortable for you, because let's just face it. How the fuck we got over here from slavery? In a limousine? We came over here in a yacht, sipping on lemonade and shit? Getting back rubs coming over here? Y'all forget y'all place. Y'all forget y'all place. But we're going to reach into that part later on in the next show. But y'all forget your place. You know you do. Y'all forget your place. Before I bring up the commercial break, again, I wanted to... again, deal with this issue of jumping in and out of the loop. Motherfuckers, you know, want to be sometimes, when they want to change their feelings. Look, that's why I say don't put y'all feelings into this. Because your feelings only going to flip shit, flip-flop shit all over the place. But when we bring this information dealing with the Native Indians, man, you know, I'm sorry how y'all feel, but shit, they know the truth. Y'all ain't them, but they know the truth. Same thing with Asians. They know the truth. Ain't nobody running from y'all motherfuckers. But the same token, y'all need to have some goddamn bravery up your ass with doing some research on your own. Well, put your foot up their ass, man. They bleed just like y'all do. That being said, I'm going to go ahead and bring it off into the commercial break. After that, we're going to kick in with a little bit of poetry, then bring in the Ivan Van Sertima illustrations, baby. You know how we do.
Swing low. Time to move on. Light years in time. Ahead of our time. Free your mind and come fly. On the mothership. Stop.
Advertising too much for your budget in this fast-paced economy? Give Shadow Productions a call, 404-512-3355. They specialize with brochures, flyers, and other advertising materials to help you flood your social media. That's Shadow Productions, 404-512-3355. Give them a call. Support the Black Nation, people.
In the mood for some seafood in Pompano Beach area? Stop by Bojo Seafood, located at 731 North MLK Boulevard in Pompano Beach, Florida. They have a $5 lunch special, and also make sure you stop in every Friday to check out the fish fry they have going on every Friday. Again, Bojo Seafood, located at 731 North MLK. Support the Black Nation.
Here's what it is on that one. All right, like I said, we were going to bring in a little bit of black poetry before we bring in Ivan Van Sertima. We're starting to make that an annual thing, coming up with just two particular ones. Trying to get creative on the show. I want to have a poetry night, that kind of thing. But ain't nothing wrong with having a little bit of black poetry, seeing how people get creative on the mic other than spitting in harm and deception against each other. Spitting wisdom is always a good thing. So, you know, with that being said, they go on by my man Prince's Pile.
Now in the Wells Fargo mobile app, you can...
Okay, other than the commercials, right? Yeah, great.
Request a one-time access code to use the ATM.
Just... But with that being said, where's all this bullshit go by? Here we go.
I'm scared what to tell my kids, we live in a system that's designed for us to fail, and I don't know what to tell them. I don't know what to tell them. When they get older, they're gonna face a system that tells them there is no you. There is only who I want you to be. From your latest cell phones to the style seen in your most recent videos to my implementation of what you call swag. If you can't brag about how many women you have or the $200 denim on your butt, you are worthless. Your purse is not hot if it is a fall edition and we are in the winter. And as long as your kids have Jordans on their feet, it is okay if they have to eat top ramen for a week for dinner. Your check is in the mail. You fail at becoming grown men, so you don't bother with your younger ones. Give them to me. I'll program them to Viacom. Have them growing up with a single mom and extensive rap sheets and ADD with no off switch and download a defense that is nothing but false self-confidence shown through them being overly aggressive. Your misguided women want nothing but diamonds and Cindy or dreams of finding a professional athlete to pay for their lives because to them being a wife is not a lifestyle, it is trendy. Trendy to have like a little black dog carried around in a bag, the deconstruction of your black woman and man are going according to plan. Flip the coin, and for those who have chose not to go down that road, make sure that any statements they make that may challenge their masculinity are followed by statements of insecurity. We can't have them thinking for themselves. Program dreams to be a mirage. Close enough to see, yet too far to reach. Their aesthetics too pathetic, a.k.a. camouflage. Allow them to blend in. Keyword, trend. Downtown corners full of rappers who refuse to give up even though their stuff sucks, but will allow them to say their piece. At the very least, it'll make them a quick buck. Any more success, initiate operation exploitation. Throw them a bit more cash. I am the system. Programmed to initiate commands. You Negroes, error, you people, are programmed not to act. Empty vessels who have sold their souls a long time ago, and you call me robotic. I am the system. Systematically set to just do. You are systematically set to just do and not think, and you call me robotic, error, redundancy, error, repeat, error, redundancy, error, repeat, pardon me. I was scanning your culture's current popular music. You want a cop to pay for killing one of you, but carry a no-snitching policy in your own community, which allows you Negroes, error, you Negroes, error, you Negroes, error, you people to have absolutely no accountability. I really overload. Reset.
nice one right there, people. That's called the system. The name of that brother there is called Princess Powell. That was called the system, the black condition. Hey, man, it's always good to go in deep. It's always good to go in deep. Let me see. I want to bring up another one, too. Let's see. Got the angry black woman. Bring it in the hell. Here we go. Portia.
Let me just say that I am a very beautiful person. I'm sweet and intelligent and funny and awkward. And I just had to say that. Only because I'm a little tired of this stereotype about the angry black woman. Whoopsie-doo, right? Because as you can see, I am black and a woman, and I'm not angry at all. Hell, I'm pissed the fuck off. I'm mad as hell. I'm so mad. I'm getting ready to break my foot off in everybody's ass, but pretend this is class so I can tell you why I'm mad at the education system. Mad because education is the key, yet they keep the four. Gentrification. Pissed that the rich be Robin Hood and mad that Robin Hood was just a motherfucking myth. I'm mad because Barbie is a standard of beauty. I hate that fruits and vegetables are so damn expensive. So how the poor gonna eat healthy off some damn potato chips? I'm mad that the government and media are controlled by the same people. And those same people are the same people who control everything. I'm mad women get raped. I hate that I only got 3 minutes to say this poem and I got about 10 minutes worth of angry. I'm mad that I can't say that I am a socialist out loud. Mad that the gay and lesbian can't be out loud and proud in the military and pissed off because only 28 states allow everyone to unite in holy matrimony. And while I appreciate civil unions, fuck civil unions. If I move to another state, then the state of my civil union is at stake. So what good is that gonna do for me in the state of Wyoming? And believe it or not, I'm still pissed the fuck off about slavery. That's right, I'm still mad because I still pick cotton off clothes racks and have a racked up reparations. Mad because niggers call each other niggas, and sick because any minute sister girl's gonna turn around and call me a bitch. I'm mad at black men for reasons I don't have time to list. I'm pissed off at hip hop. I'm pissed off at black on black crime. I'm pissed off that Ricky Ross got all the crack and we can't turn that shit back. I'm pissed the fuck off. I'm mad because above everything, at any given time and in any given space, I, as a black woman, can suffer from racism, sexism, homophobia, classism. I can be raped, beat, burned alive, and no one, not a single soul, will look up to acknowledge my absence from this universe because I am insignificant, because I am a black woman. And finally, you see, I have every right to be pissed the fuck off. But most of the time, despite what you believe, I'm really, really sweet.
Boy, look at here. You gotta love our queens. You gotta love our queens. That was some black poetry right there. Now I'm gonna dig into this Ivan Van Sertima right quick. The king came in with some information last time on Monday when they were doing the excavation over there, and not excavation, but the exploration in the region of Mexico. And we're going to dig back into that video once again. See, I'm dealing with part two. Actually, I'm dealing with part two.
To suggest
that there were Africans in America before Columbus. Columbus was the first to suggest it. On his second voyage, Columbus noted in his journal and reported that the natives of Española, as it was then known, it's now Haiti, Santo Domingo, came to him and told him that black people had come from the south and southeast trading with them in gold-tipped metal spears. They had come in large boats. Columbus was skeptical, and he sent two samples of these boats to Spain, two samples of these spears, to Spain to be assayed. They were examined and assayed in Spain, and they were found to have the identical ratio of gold, silver, and copper alloys as metal spears then being forged in African Guinea. The Portuguese were in Guinea since around 1450, when in fact they were attacked by one of the African navies. There was a fight in the Gambia. Quite a while before he came to America, he had been at that fort. In fact, he tried to persuade the Portuguese to finance him to make his trip across the ocean. And the Portuguese had told Columbus on his return from his first voyage that they were aware of Africans leaving the Cape Verde Islands, which is just off Guinea, and going far to the west with merchandise. Now, in this, we have, first of all, the oral tradition of the Native Americans who said that there were black people trading with them in these gold-tipped metal spears. We have the diaries of Columbus stating this, recording this. We have the Portuguese making records of Africans leaving in large boats from the Cape Verde and going far to the west with merchandise. We have the metallurgical evidence in Spain that these trade items, which were supposed to be West African, had been examined and found to be West African. And then on top of that, we have the linguistic evidence, which came later from Leo Wiener, who started work in this field in the 1920s, African, the Discovery of America, 3 volumes. And in it, he points out that the word Guanin, which the Indians were using, the Native Americans, that is, were using for these gold-tipped metal spears, came from Kwani, which is the word for gold. Botanical evidence of a connection, because they have found a species of cotton in the Cape Verde Islands from which the blacks were coming in their trade with the Native Americans in the Caribbean. They found a species of cotton 30 years before the coming of Columbus. Europeans settling in the Cape Verde Islands took a cotton from Africa, which they thought was African, from the African Atlantic coast, and planted it into the Cape Verde, and it was found to be Gossypium hirsutum var punctatum, which is not African. In other words, they must have got it. It was an American cotton that grows in the Caribbean and parts of South America. They must have got it from here and brought it back. But not only in this trade, there seem to be things brought over, like the guanin, and there is another item, Almanzar, which Columbus's men saw in South America, though Columbus himself did not set foot on South America. On his third voyage, the men from his ship went into South America, though he did not come off the ship. And there are things that have come from America, not only the cotton, they have found maize, American maize, in pre-Columbian strata in Africa. They've even found the pineapple at Pompeii. Well, I'm not going to go into that because that doesn't particularly concern us. That could remain a riddle, but there is no riddle about the maize. There is no riddle about the cotton that is a very distinctive cotton that is American. So there was a trade in that period, at least 50 years before Columbus. My concern, however, is not with the late pre-Columbian period, but with contacts made by Africans in a very, very early period, long, long before Columbus was a twinkle. And we have very hard evidence of this connection and contact. It was about 100 years ago
And by the way, let me say something about the history of this subject, because people are very confused about so many things. And one of the problems we have in the recovery of African history is that most people think that anything that is said has equal weight with anything else. So that if someone said that when the continents were joined, Africans came across to America, and if someone said there was a lost city of Atlantis in the Atlantic, Plato said so, and that is how they came. Many people think that because it's in favor of the thesis, it helps the thesis. It does not. It certainly does not. Thus, there is absolutely no hard evidence for Atlantis at the moment. None whatsoever. The Russians believe it's in the Straits of Gibraltar, and the Ethemark believes it's in Mississippi. Some people believe it's off South America. Some people think it's in the middle of the Atlantic. Some people think it's in the Bermuda, where they're having trouble with lost planes and ships. Some people think it's a space station. It has nothing to do with hard archaeology. Just let's forget it. One of these days, if they find it, we will talk about it. And the same thing is true of the continents being joined. That's absolute rubbish. When the continents were joined, there were no human beings on Earth. That is a far, far geological time, long before the appearance of Homo sapiens. That has absolutely nothing to do with this. We have got to be very careful in the presentation and in the examination and exploration of these subjects to be extremely cautious, even to the point where evidence is presented as a thesis which you have to reject. Let me give you an example. Ramesses II developed an infection of his leg. How marvelous that Africans, years after, when one develops an infection in the leg, it causes a stir. They had to go and see how they could stop this infection. And when they opened up his belly, they found in the wrappings in his belly, they found tobacco. Now that is extraordinary, because people have insisted, most scientists have insisted, that tobacco comes from America. How on earth did it get in the belly of Ramesses II? Now that would appear to help my thesis. It does not. Because first of all, I have pointed out tobacco could have gotten to Ramesses II belly, because nobody has taken the courage yet to test the tobacco to see if it is truly American. It may turn out to be African in origin. I pointed out that the word tobacco is not used at all in America for the plant. No American tribe uses tobacco for the tobacco plant. They use tobacco for the pipe. They used tobacco for the act of smoking, which was alien to them. As Schweinfurt has pointed out in the heart of Africa, that the Africans devised more ingenious contrivances for smoking, which was new to the American, only tactics the Indian chief smoked. That was a late development in history, because people did not use tobacco for smoking, neither the Africans nor the Americans. Tobacco was used as a medicine. It could be chewed. It could be used to create the smoke, and the smoke was pushed through the nose or through the mouth or through the anus or through the vagina to an orifice in the body in order to clean out and soothe the affected parts of the body. So smoking is a recent invention, and we have evidence to suggest that it developed in Africa. And the reason why the Americans were using smoke words, not just tobacco and the tawa, taba words, but even juli, jemba, a whole range of smoke words from Africa find their way through South American parts of the world, and they are not Mexican words at all. They're not Mexican in origin at all. They're not South American in origin. The reason I go back to the early period, although I'm going to be dealing, the reason why I go back to the 1492 period is, although I'll be dealing with the later period, to make you aware how is it that history can actually be documented and yet lost. A lot of African history actually exists in documents. It is not true that all the documents are lost, but they are fragmented and scattered, and when they appear, they are dismissed. When Columbus mentioned black people, he actually, on his third voyage, goes to Africa follows the coastline of Africa, goes into the Cape, bird searching for black cattle, which both the West Africans and the Americans in Caribbean were using for sacrifice and for ritual purposes, doesn't find any black cattle, proceeds down into the very current that the Africans used to cross to America, and comes to America in half the time by using the African current. And then lands first in Trinidad. He calls it Trinidad because he saw three rocks which reminded him of the Holy Trinity. Very sacred man. And then he comes the next day to South America, and he does not come off the ship. Columbus, note this, Columbus never once set his foot on the American continent. Never once. He wandered into the Caribbean on all his voyages. On the third voyage, although he came to South America, he would not come off the ship. He said he had an arthritic fit. It's the same thing happened when he was in the Caribbean. When King Ferdinand sent a letter to him, when they found out, the man appeared in the court, Jaime Ferreira, and pointed out that he had learned from Africans and Arabs in Africa that there was a land to the south. This is South America. There was a landmass to the south, and it was on the same latitude of Guinea, just below the equinoctial line, and that Africans had been there, and that they were aware of exactly how far away it was. The Portuguese knew that from African intelligence. They knew that it was about 1,500 to 1,600 miles. That is why even before Europeans came to South America, they ran a line across the world in June 1494, even before Cabral came here in 1500, there was a line drawn across the world so that the Portuguese could have that land mass. That's why the Portuguese owned Brazil. That's even before they came, you know. Even before they're supposed to have come, the line is drawn on African intelligence. And Jaime Ferrer goes and tells the Spanish court that Columbus knows about it. He had discussions with the Portuguese, and he had made a deal with the Portuguese not to let the Spanish know. That's why when Columbus came back on his second voyage and he hoped to go back to the Caribbean to colonize it further, the Spanish said, no, I want you to go now into the south. I want you to check out the south. There is a landmass in the south. And Columbus said, no, there could be no landmass within this demarcation line the Portuguese are asking for, because they said it's 270 leagues, which is about 4.5 miles, according to Vespucci, and there could be no land within that space, because I have traveled twice as many leagues and I have found no such land, which is partly true, because Europe is twice as far from America as is Africa. And when he comes to South America, I am in Cuba. They told him, come home immediately. We want to know about this line. We want to know if the Portuguese ambassadors are cheating us. He says, I am in Cuba. Listen to this. I am in Cuba. I am too bravely ill to move. I cannot come home. And I am certain that Cuba is the continent, because my ships cannot circumnavigate it. Now, he wrote, I found the letter he wrote 6 months earlier to Luis Santiago, Chancellor of Aragon, saying, I am certain that Cuba is an island, for the natives who have lived there for centuries have told me so. They knew it was an island. Why is he writing the Spanish to say it's a continent? And when he comes to South America, does he not? This is the greatest navigator to whom we owe our discovery. There's a vast amount, even in the documented area, there's a vast amount of lying and trickery and treachery. That is why on his fourth voyage, Columbus was arrested by Bobadilla. He was taken back like a black. He and his brother Bartholomew were taken back in the hold of the ship and brought to trial in Spain. How many of you know that? And he's taken back for trial, and after trial, all of these things come out that he has, because he had got up like his brother by marrying a Portuguese woman of high birth. That is how he managed to enter the courts of Portugal and Spain and elsewhere. And he had got involved with the Portuguese, and he had decided that his left hand would be filled with Portuguese money and his right hand with Spanish money. And he would allow the Portuguese to move into the south and keep the Spanish in the north. I do not have time to go into that. I'll go into that in greater detail in question time. Let me come to the meat of the subject, which deals with the Olmec, O-L-M-E-C. It was 100 years ago, in 1858, that some peasants at Tresseportes discovered a huge stone head. Now, I want the slides to go on so you can see the area I'm talking about. And when I speak of Mexico, please understand, I'm not talking of the shrunken Mexico of today. I'm speaking of Mexico when it was the center of the American continent, at least the North American continent, when it stretched as far as La Plata in Canada, when it included parts of Texas, California, Colorado, etc. So that when one speaks of it, don't just push it off the map and say Central America. It was America. It was the center of the first American civilization. Now let us have the first slide. There you see the area I'm speaking about. In that diamond or basin, that basin where you see those little diamonds, those little black diamonds, there is where at La Venta on this side, at Tresseportes and at San Lorenzo, they found a number of huge stone heads. But the first head was found in 1858, and I want to show you what they saw in 1858, more than a century ago. Next. This is the head. This head was dug out of the earth in 1858. And this is the face. Let us look at the side. This is the side. Let us look at the back. And note now the back.
Great.
You know that this photograph has never been published in any book, not even in mine. Do you know? Two young black anthropophoto journalists, Wayne Chandler and Catherine Gaynell, showed me this last year. It blew my mind.
Pausing for a commercial. They have a commercial on this particular video. But the video just showed imagery of the Olmec statues from the side, from the front, but they also showed a picture of the back of the heads. And they show braids in the back of the Olmec heads. Well, I don't see what Mexican person around here rocking braids, but we'll leave it at that.
This photograph is hidden in the file, hidden in the posthumous files of Heiser. It's a photograph showing you what the head looked like when they found it. Yet the National Geographic, which is so remarkable for authentic presentation of what it finds, did not think it necessary to show these braids. The Mexicans then started to talk about Africans in America before Columbus, Jose Melgar and Orozco Ibera, etc. This has never been published. In spite of the fact that I had roamed all over the world to find photographic material for my book, They Came Before Columbus, I was not aware of this until about a year ago. You know, we do not know where this head is now. It has been removed from its place in Tresseportes. It's supposed to be in Tuxtla. We have to search for it. We do not know its exact location. We think we know the state because Heiser said it's in Tuxtla, but we haven't found it yet. This is the first head. It was 10 tons in weight, just the head, you know. Now, nowhere in America before this period, say what the period is because we have been able to get dating. Nowhere, even though the Americans were masters of portrait art, and we have perhaps no people have left so many records in stone and clay and gold and copal of their faces as have the Americans. There are about 1 million pieces left in America of the faces of the people who lived there in many historical periods. This is unusual in American art. It is colossal and it is just a head. That's very important. You find that when you go into the great African world. The enormous stature. statues, you find the colossal heads, etc. And it's not, I'm not talking about an art style. Look at that face. They say, look, the reason why it has a puffed nose and puffed lips is because that's one of the explanations. That one may sound funny. You haven't heard it all yet. Let's see the other head. Next. Okay, that perhaps looks too like a baby. What an unfortunate baby. Go on. Now you're seeing a range of heads from the various sites, La Venta, Tres Apotes, San Lorenzo. You're seeing the various heads. And one of the things you note about these heads, apart from the unusual combination of the broad nose, extended nostril feature, the full lips, etc., you note they have a helmet. Only one of them is without a helmet. And interested, I will comment on that in question and answer time. Please tell me about it, because I took 40 Americans with me to visit the archaeological sites in Mexico where these things are found. I took them in July. The Acnefer Society, which is run by Dorothy Anderson, who is here today, organized it, and we spent about 2 weeks in Mexico going through these sites. And there is a figure which I will show you shortly, which has disappeared. They said that they took it away because the weather is damaging it. It's been standing 3,000 years in the weather, you know. Suddenly, like King Tut, it has become too delicate. Okay. Go on. These are just a panorama of the head. Now, this one I want you to look at closely. Here, in perhaps the best preserved of all the heads, you see very clearly the type of helmet being used. These people say it's a football helmet because I suppose they think that that is the way they will explain it. That's not a football helmet. Okay, that is a military helmet. At Tanis in the Egyptian Delta, we have found helmets like that. Now, there were a whole range of helmets used by Egyptians and Nubians and people in the Nile Valley over the many millennia, or rather the 3,000 years of Egyptian rule. But in this period, this is one of the types of helmets used. This is a military period. I will deal in a moment, as I say, with the nature of that period, how we arrived at the date. But I want you to see the heads first, and I want to explain how they explain the head. Okay, go ahead. Here again, you see it. Now, leave it there, and let me tell you how this has been explained. First, they said they looked like babies. Then they said the reason why it has that peculiar mouth is the snarling mouth of a jaguar. Now, look at that. You know, this is a jaguar. This is supposed to be a werewolf, a human jaguar. Explaining this monumental sculpture. Now, it is true that the Olmec were obsessed with the jaguar. It was a sacred motif among them. It was a living thing. It prowled on the edge of their settlements and on the edge of their consciousness. When the Science Digest in 1981 did an article on me in which they tried to show that the establishment had been extremely unfair to me, dismissing my evidence, they pointed out when they asked Michael Coe, who's supposed to be the great expert on Mexico, ancient Mexico, they said, what do you think of Van Sertma's suggestion that these are Africans? He says, no. The reason why they have broad noses and full lips is because the tools were blunt. Now look at the blunt, look what the blunt tools made. And when the aquiline noses appear, or the different type of nose from that appears, the tools were sharpened. This is the 38-ton head carved out of pure basalt with a blunt tool, standing here after 3,000 years staring at us as if we're looking into a mirror. And this is the blunt tool for the product of the Olmec civilization. Whenever facts cannot be dealt with, they have to be dismissed. Yeah. I'm going to show you quite a number of these as we go on. But how did they date these heads? How could they arrive at the date? It is impossible to date stone. You can date stone, yes, you can say, well, this is millions of years old. But to date it in the historic context is impossible. So how did they arrive at the dating? Fortunately, at Levanta, which is known as the holy capital of the Olmec world, these first native American civilizations, they found four of these stone heads rooted in a wooden ceremonial platform where the Native Americans worshipped. And it was inextricably linked to the platform. The platform had been reconstructed to accommodate the head. Hence, a dating of the wood of the platform could yield the dating of the head. And that dating was 814 plus or minus 134 BC, which is anywhere between 948 and 680 years before. Let us go on to deal with some more heads, and I will come back to that in a moment and the significance of that those dates. Go ahead. Now, this one has disappeared. This one is too delicate to remain where it is. The weather has got it in.
King Akhenaten. King Tut is showing various images. And also showing various skull types of head shapes on Africa currently today.
Good evening and welcome to the second part of our series with Rutgers University anthropologist Dr. Ivan Van Sertima. Dr. Van Sertima, author of They Came Before Columbus, The African Presence in America, continues his discussion of the African presence in the Americas before Christ.
Now let me come to the meat of the subject, which deals with the Olmec, O-L-M-E-C. It was 100 years ago, in 1858, that some peasants at Tres Zapotes discovered a huge Mexico of today. I'm speaking of Mexico when it was the center of the American continent, at least the North American continent, when it stretched as far as La Plata in Canada, when it included parts of Texas, California, Colorado, etc. So that when one speaks of it, don't just push it off the map and say Central America. It was America. It was the center of the first American civilization. Now let us have the first slide. There you see the area I'm speaking about. In that diamond or basin, that basin where you see those little diamonds.
Swing low. Time to move on. Light years in time. Ahead of our time. Free your mind and come fly. It's heaven on the mothership.
Advertising too much for your budget in this fast-paced economy? Give Shadow Productions a call, 404-512-3355. They specialize with brochures, flyers, and other advertising materials to help you flood your social media. That's Shadow Productions, 404-512-3355. Give them a call. Support the Black Nation, people.
Vitamins and minerals to detox your body of bacteria.
In the mood for some seafood in Pompano Beach area? Stop by Bojo Seafood, located at 731 North MLK Boulevard in Pompano Beach, Florida. They have a $5 lunch special, and also make sure you stop in every Friday to check out the fish fry they have going on every Friday. Again, Bojo Seafood, located at 731 North MLK. Support the Black Nation.
That's what's up. Hey, man, you heard Van Sertima? Brother pulled the various information, resources, and all that. More than welcome to go back and check it out and listen to it. Only thing I want to say to that, you know, but the fact that Nubia was trying to regroup itself over here in the Americas, we got a clear distinction now, you know, of what's what. Now we know what came over here and wiped them out. I didn't know why they was wiping Native Indians out. But I still say, based on what information I found out there, they hadn't have been there before the Native Indians. They had to have been there before the Native Indians, for the time period of them building the empire they built. Then for them to get attacked in the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, That's too much civilization, too much time it takes to build that shit. Just goes to show us, man, that, you know, you gotta do your research on your people, man. You gotta do the research on your people. Happen. If you don't, the only thing you're going to go by is what someone else is saying and pretty much stuff. You're thinking that's the shit. No, you got to even extend past them. And see, that's why, you know, Van Sertima, he talks about they came before Columbus. We pulled up the information to prove that. Yeah, Nubia still rocking in the common era. It was still rocking in the common era. Wait up, man. I mean, it is what it is, but shit. You gotta understand, man, our culture was trying to regroup. They were trying to regroup. Say what y'all brothers do, man. What do y'all brothers do? This is atrocious, man, the fact that we don't sit here and acknowledge our peoples, and then, you know, we sit back and we look crazy. Yeah, we're looking crazy. Because y'all don't want to accept the fact of when you came in history, when you didn't come in history, who the hell took over your shit. You ass-kissing today's shit and don't want to admit it. Man, okay. Self-denial is a motherfucker. Shit that runs you away from the truth, like what he said. Self-denial, being dismissive, you want to act like your shit didn't exist. Crazy, boy. culture tried to regroup itself over here in the Americas after losing, and they were getting jumped, and they were going to mount a regroup offense, but that didn't take place because they couldn't fight cannons. Couldn't fight cannons. Boys had guns, pistols. Nubia stronghold was, you know, close quarter combat. The way these people attacked from their distance. Once they figured that shit out, that was a wrap. So, what must Nubia do to regain itself again? You're supposed to do what? Right. Get educated into that science. So y'all don't mount up a defense. That's what this whole shit boils down to. Y'all having some sort of self-defense mechanism to where, you know, you can fight a common foe, but shit, you know, it is what it is with that. Crazy, yo. I'm looking at survival of the fittest over here in Nubia, still living in the damn 600 common era. It shows that, you know, Van Sertima is on point with that. But to me, I just think that the Native Indians came over here. But again, how you not know architect? Why somebody? That shit is crazy, man. And see, that would have just taught everybody a lesson right there why they killed that particular group off, because they seen who came over and attacked the blacks. They seen that. They were wiping them out. Trying to regroup, y'all. Get them. And when they came over here and snatched this land, did they go over to Asia and snatch it up? No. I mean, they already had a civilization building in the works when they first got attacked, and prior to that as well. But they was coming over here to the Americas. It was coming over to Asia, too. Well, I dare anybody to ask any Native Indian person what part of America, what was the name of that shit? Don't tell me your tribe, what they call the land. Y'all had to call the land something. Didn't say, oh, the land, use an English word. No, you called that shit something else in your language. They don't want to hide behind American words. You're not allowed to speak the truth. It's like the Asian not allowed to speak the truth. Had all kind of goddamn people sitting here doing all kind of operations. That's why I say 1500, that shit is key. I already told y'all about what was going on over there in Asia. The Portuguese was busy, boy. Japan ousted their ass out of there. Spain, too. But who was all up in Singapore? Who was all the main three right there? Who were trying to snatch this shit up? Spain, the Dutch, Portuguese. French ain't too much care about Asia because they were pretty much trying to hit up Africa. They were going after the Ivory Coast. So was Britain. They were going after that while, you know, Portuguese, Dutch, and Spain, they was going out to South America and Asia. It was a free-for-all.
Who gonna stop us? We got cannons, nigga. Host. Feeling badass. And, okay. Again, we have the information out there, people. We have the information out there. It goes to show you that, you know, the Gulf of Mexico is a key hot spot. It's very interesting, like I said, how we're correlating the same information. I'm just going a little bit more in depth with it. But addition to that, like I said, in South Africa, they was trading hard. To me, Great Zimbabwe was like a Nubia. They was trying to turn that shit into a Nubia down there, reforming their home world when they first started. People lost, they migrated, they went down there, and they took the other route, Lake Victoria, Congo region. Some stayed down there. They started trading both areas. Gonna mount up a heavy defense against their ass. But who came and blew them out the water? We can't. Who snitched on them? Who showed them how to navigate, people? The Moors. Who told the Moors over there in Europe? The Moors over there in the Middle East? Because they was trading with them in unknown, unannounced to the brothers over there in Africa. They didn't know. Until, you know, they got invaded. Can't sit here and say Asian black Moors. Why? Because they wouldn't fit the region. Otherwise, Asia would have came and attacked us. So who's left on the map? Who the only one that didn't have no chance of coming to the party to invade us, but they kept on invading East Africa? Arabs. So since they couldn't, you know, get none out of the deal, like, fuck it. You know, whoever you find, bring to us. Goodbye. That's when they started coming more down to the east, even further. The Arabs went further down east. So, you know, they were getting jumped. Arabs jumped in. Asia jumped in. And you had, you know, the brothers over there in Africa who were selling us out. They got trained to do that shit as babies. Then again, you had some of them who were part of that Northern Legion anyway. We got a half hour in the show. Great Montage Monday that dealt with some key points. But to sit here and show the evidence of the Olmecs with braids, that just sits everybody down. And the braids are not that long. They're long from the top to the bottom. Stop about midpoint where the head is. But if it was Native Indian, it'd have been long. That's how we know it wasn't you. Don't just sneak your way in history, thinking that you belong. You don't. Stop. Next week, with the Montage Monday, we'll be introducing the Queen, Queen Day that day. We went in twice this month, Ivan Van Sertima, bringing in that serious work, showing what was going down in the 1500s, late 1400s, and trust me, we bring up the 1400s next month, oh, some shit finna pop off for y'all. Oh, we got something to bring to the table on that one. That's why I say the further we go back, the dirty it gets, the shady it gets. You're getting shady in all kind of ways. Again, the fugitives that we know of gonna stop being on the run. The fugitives that need to be on the run is gonna get their ass on the run now. It's payback time. It's time to use that science against them damn bullets. It's time to use the science against that goddamn missile, grenade, shit like that. Use that science, people. That shit is made of metallic material. Find out how to diffuse metallic material. It's out there. Something so simple. I can't tell you. That's something you got to find on your own. I mean, these boys got blasted with cannons. Shooting them with all kind of shit. Same shit you been, you know, with the old men. Just shooting at this shit. Can't break. They piss. Bury them. That's what they said, bury. Can't let nobody see this shit. I told you, we are over here as POWs. I'm gonna look into that situation with the letter, though. With the letter with Christopher Columbus. That's some shit right there, if that's true. You had Columbus, who had his hands out for Spain when it came to Cuba. But Columbus had his other hand out for the Portuguese, for them to have their own continent. Their own big mainland. Because you had who? America with three. England, France, and Spain. Coming in with this Black History Month continuation, the Black chronology, the Black Meccas. We expanding this shit out. We're not the ones who, in that situation where, you know, talk. No, it's all about what can you do versus what can't you do. That's where we at. But any real warrior out there, you already know ain't no such thing as can't. Again, Southern Root Radio bringing you that Montage Monday with Ivan Van Sertima Part 2. I played a little bit of him last time because when he dropped that knowledge, or when that man gave that information, like I said, it was something about the 1500s. It just too abroad, just like on the BC side. Same shit as far as, you know, 15th century prior to and prior after, there's some shit going down in both eras. It wouldn't surprise me if something went down in the 2400s BC. God damn it, this shit sounds like it's connected to 666, if you ask me. What's so special about the fucking 15? Crazy, man. Again, like I said, Nubia tribe, buddy. Nubia tribe. Columbus saw them damn spears, the metallic spears. They whacked out the native Indians who had anything to do with metallic. The motherfucker would have questioned y'all and said, where y'all got that shit from? That's why they wiped y'all. How the fuck you gonna come over here to somebody else's land? And then, you know, y'all don't link up. Y'all didn't do that to Asia. Go over there and wipe them out. You linked up with them. Y'all didn't do that to India. You linked up with them. You didn't do that to Arabs. You linked up with them. You wiped out native Indians. Why, they didn't want to go along with the program? Again, people, situation calls for, you know, our culture to understand the position and where they at. Like I said, we can have, and you know, I type up the word empowerment, whether it's with the E or with the I. So many people out there doing empowerment shows. How many out there is doing creation shows? Show me what y'all created kind of shit. It's too much of the same, you know. Oh man, we got style, people. We got style. Where is it? We got style. Ivan Van Sertima dropping that knowledge. I'm gonna go ahead and take this time again to sneak in a couple more poetry. But that was nice what the Queen delivered on. But again, people, this shit here is off the chain. Are we catching people in their shit? Can we back it up and see what's going on? And see, you dirty motherfuckers with y'all little dumb shit. But somebody ready to swell your shit up, now you, don't hurt me. Bitch, hurt that motherfucker. Hurt their ass. Fuck this shit. Hurt them. Hurt them bad. Alright, we're going dealing with this, when a black man walks, pop this on up there, and see how the Queen relaying her message to the people.
See a black man walk. It's like rhythm and meters got up off the page and decided to move and glide with spirit. You ever see a black man walk in the room, Mars Cole style, like keep tap dancing? I'm here. In those steps of messages, and you have to listen carefully. They trying to kill me. Stop searching, frisk me. There are prayers in a black man's walk. Don't let them shoot me down where I'm standing. Don't let the white chalk lines find me. Don't let me die in the streets like an animal. I'm a man. I swear I'm a man. When a black man walks, a whole generation lives to see another day, another sunrise, another mouth to feed, another seed, another sacrifice made, another poem, another hungry burning cross, another mother breathing in her son's ear. Both east, both quiet. Keep your head down, boy. Don't matter if you're 16 or 60. When a black man walks, he is always hunted. He is always animal. He is always standing out like a living corpse. He smells like a KKK appetizer. Nuggets of his own flesh, sipped in his own blood. Woo-wee! When a black man walks, he often finds white women walking closely behind him. But you can't blame a white sister for liking the way a black man walks. She understands some things, and it's cool with the fact that her baby will have nappy hair, even though she will not know how to comb it. When a black man walks, wait for it. Listen to the orchestra playing beneath his feet. Pay attention to the vibrations when he walks in a room. See how many faces change to fear in the presence of a black man. See how many women hold their purse so tightly their fingers grow numb. See how many men hide their eyes, wishing the darkness would go away. Maybe choke yourself to death. That ugly two-third human being, that next-to-nothing black dot, that useless prison black spot. When a black man walks, every day he is like Jesus, paranoid of crucifixion. Every day he is like Trayvon, knowing that until he had nothing to do with his last breath. If only bullets could kill racism, poverty, and the traumas of slavery. You pay attention when a black man walks. You listen when a black man walks. His feet have a mind of their own, a compass, a homing device. 400 years of directions. Find your way home safely. Don't let Jim Crow steal your soul. Don't let gentrification lose your memory. Don't let police brutality castrate you. Do what your mama said do. Run, run, run. When their teeth are already covered in blood, do what your mama said do. Run, run, run. When a black man walks, he ain't got time to walk. Death is always like, black men are the easiest to find. They are the strongest but the most fragile. They are the calm and the storm. They die like they expect to. When a black man walks, think of it as a masterpiece, a beautiful song that you may only hear once. Cherish it.
We only come once in a lifetime. Remember that shit. Well, I tell you, motherfuckers dropping napalms on these poetries today. Napalm. Well, I tell you. Here's another one we're dealing with, the Black Rage. Actually, hold up. Actually, we'll go with this Black Ice.
Hi, from Philly, Black Ice. Let me ask y'all a question. When you look at my brothers, what's your first impression? Does the sight of us leave you guessing, or do you understand the stresses, the aggression, the look of no hope on my niggas' faces, like the Lord overlooked us when he handed down his graces? You see, embraces fall short on the numb tips of street entrepreneurial fingers, stuck in the walls of the project halls where the coke smell still lingers. External blingers is all we can be, because on the inside we've been given nothing to shine on. And a gig is harder to get than coke, so niggas get their grind on, because the TV tells us, aim high, nigga, make all goals lateral. But that takes paper that we don't have, so niggas put their souls up as collateral now. Some niggas reclaim them, some blame them, make an excuse to sell them. But when a nigga goes from not doing to doing, what can you tell them? Not to be a nigga. Shit, I got to be a nigga, that's how I pay the bills. And I'ma do that whether I got to sling this coke or exploit these rhyme skills. See, America makes you an opportunist, and at the same time, they institutionalize you. So the fact that niggas get these big record deals, big money, and then go to jail shouldn't surprise you. That's what lies do. And most of these guys do have raw talent, just infantile education. So the business feeds them all the weed and ecstasy and a little bit of paper to provide some pacification. From all the bullshit frustration they serve you. Meanwhile, they corrupt your perception of what the real is. See, they've taken all our businessmen and made them drug dealers. Took all our messengers, made them rappers, just slapping their jaws, afraid to admit their treason. Took all our soldiers for the cause, made them killers for no reason, and being fucked up. Well, that's in this season. So if you're negative, you're positive. And if you're positive, you're called a hater. But I maintain control of my soul because I know it gets greater later. And I told y'all the last show, I'm no hater. I just know what the truth is. I've been intertwining this pudding for a year now, so I know where the proof is. It lies in these Midtown Manhattan skyscrapers where former hustlers sign papers and do fucked up capers. My 16 infamous stars at a time. Got them chopping and bagging and serving that shit to niggas 16 bars at a time. And the crime is undetectable by the feds because in the heads of our kids is where the track is. And music shoots straight to the soul. It's so potent, so it's much more addictive than crack is. Now, the high is just an illusion, lies and confusion. But just for that rush, just once these young bucks will go through it. So in essence, they're still flooding our streets with thugs, drugs, and killing. They're just using these record labels to do it. Taking our heartfelt demos, putting us in limos, trying to fuck up our direction. And most niggas is trained to chase money and pussy, so we fall victim to our own erection. Now, convincing ourselves that we're on our way somewhere where we're not going, but ignorance is bliss, and niggas love this, so niggas take pride in not knowing. We not growing. Nigga, I'll give a fuck how slick you flowing if you ain't showing these kids nothing or adding nothing positive to the earth. Yeah, I've been destined to touch this world since the day I was born. To be honest, fuck a bill. God gives me what I'm worth.
Bringing heat, boy, bringing heat. Bringing heat. Gonna go up with this Black Rage with Mr. Johnson and see the heat that he got to bring to the table as well. Black poetry, baby. Bring it in.
Man kills his own rage after George Wolf. The sixth grade. My best friend would have told you I knocked that white girl out cold. That wasn't completely true, but I did win. And after the fight, I walked home, showed my mother my trophy fist, my clean face, told her that white girl didn't even get a hit on me. Mama say I should apologize to the white girl. I say, nah. I won. Mama say, that's not what it's about, child. I say, but she called me a nigger. She called me a nigger. She called me a nigger. Wonder why? Mama wasn't proud of this white girl blood on her daughter's good clothes and 18 years later. I think about this thing called black rage. Think about how my mother saw it first and perhaps feared its teeth. Think about all the good reasons to call me a nigger. Think about how that white girl didn't have a good reason to call me a nigger and how she threw the first punch and how I was the one who had to unlearn the fight, how I was forced to silence this rage. Therapy, suit and tie, code switch this rage, how they gave this rage a scholarship, a grant, an opportunity. That's what you still mad for. Ain't like somebody calls you a nigger or nothing. Think about the white lady who patted me on the head, how I told her ass off, how she responded with you go girl. How in that moment I trained my tongue to say nothing. And ain't that control? Ain't that a fair white sports fan with a full painted black face, and how they say I shouldn't be triggered, how they say he was helping his team win. I think about what winning is, how I thought I won once, how I showed my mother my trophy fist and my clean face. Think about how to kill my own rage without being part of a genocide. I think about genocide and all that blood on my people's good clothes. Think about strange fruits and the nuances of both being queer and black and fighting for black when black trumps queer and queer dies while black hands and black don't see queer even in death. I think about death in the many ways a dead black body be a protest. Think about this validated anger, this thirst for justice. How I went back to that white girl and I apologized. How to be black is to apologize all the goddamn time. I think about the safety in that. I think about my mama and how she only wanted me to live, and how to live is to control this rage. To control this rage is to lie. It is to walk into any given space and present a muzzled version of yourself that doesn't carry this weight, this culture, this burden, this wrinkle above both brows, these fists, these teeth, these explanations as to why you should be alive. It is to go back and look at the source of your rage square in the eyes and be strong enough, be black enough to tell them, I'm sorry.
We under 5 minutes in the show. We're going to be putting another one up in the next half hour. Going in hard with that one. Man, oh man. Yeah. Interesting poetry there by the Queen. It was Queen Johnson, and the name of that poetry was called Black Rage. Janae Johnson. Yeah. Okay. But dealing with this up and coming show, we gonna be dealing with, you know, it's time to check you motherfuckers out there. Make a nigga smile. They'll do anything. Y'all know who y'all is. Y'all know who y'all is. Everyone wanna laugh and y'all know who y'all is. Shit funny. Shit funny. Y'all know who y'all is. Y'all know who y'all is. Everything gotta be funny to motherfuckers like y'all. No problem. Again, that's the name of it. You go look on Facebook, you'll see a picture of Buck Week, house nigga. Instead of saying okay, they say okay. You know what I'm saying? You even got a couple white actors with the black shoe polish all over their face and shit. Trying to act like they black, but they white and shit. And, you know, the bullshit, man. Everybody want to do shit based off entertain. Illusion and entertain. Look, I won. How? We still slaves. So, there it is right there. There it is right there. So it is what it is. But long story short, that's what we're going to be dealing with. The monkey see, monkey do. Y'all niggas doing that bullshit. Tune in tomorrow. If not late on the day, but tune in tomorrow, most definitely. We're going to be on Hardcore Tuesday. Going back at the 1500s. Also, Get Even Get Back Thursday, Get Black Thursday. Again, the 1500s. And also with Improvement Movement Friday. We're going to finish it off just right. Shot goes out to everybody out there. Trying to make things happen. Brothers over there and... to a whole new level, man. It ain't time for us to put it on camera yet for y'all to see what y'all want to see. Motherfuckers regrouping, goddammit. And gonna make a power hit. Gonna make a major hit. Y'all fucked up. That's all I can tell you. Y'all fucked up, man. You should never let us see this shit. Y'all fucked up. We're not like how the Greeks was in 300. May you live forever. Cause the day your ass die, we gonna get you. Oh no. We ain't finna wait that damn long. Shit finna get real, real soon. I'll see y'all later on today. Later on tonight. Y'all can check us out tomorrow. Same bad time, same channel. One love to the Black Nation, baby. Power to the people. I'm out. Peace.